This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word. Let's go ahead and get started with our lesson for today. We are going to pick up and carry on, hopefully get to the next step in our study. I wanted to go ahead and write back up on the board where we had what we had put up there, and I've added some stuff to it that as I've thought through this and come across stuff. And you'll remember that we're talking about the where are you going? That's the question that I'm asking. And we're talking about the destination. This is what Andy Stanley calls the principle of the path, and that is that every direction has a specific destination, a fixed destination. You get on I-75, as we've talked many, many times, and as I finally learned better, and you go north, you're not going to end up in Orlando or Tampa, either one, right? You're going to end up in Chattanooga and eventually, apparently, Detroit. So we're talking about heaven or hell in this. Sorry. See, all of this stuff is so subjective. Everybody, yeah. Anyway, so we're talking about our destination. Where is it that you want to end up? And this destination can be anything from an eternal destination, specifically heaven or hell. It can be long-term destinations, our marriage being successful and happy for all of our lives, our children being, you know, coming out of the house ready and equipped for life, all that kind of stuff. And then even, you know, the next couple of year kind of goals, and even daily or weekly goals. All of those things are destinations. When we choose our direction, we choose where we are going to end up, even though we don't necessarily explicitly think about it that way. And when you look at direction, we talked about this, your direction. How do you know what direction you're headed? Well, that's what you do, your habits. What you do every day, what you do every week, those are the things that set your direction, which in turn will set define your destination. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking, and you'll notice that even though all the stuff starts here and ends up down there with destination, we're actually going backwards in our study, because I think that that's the best way for us to kind of get it all in our brain as we're going through this. And so we talked about destination, we talked about direction. Now we're talking about decisions, and we're really asking the question, how do you make good decisions that will end up in directions going to the destinations that where you want to end up? And so we're going to talk one more time about that, kind of a new facet, a different facet to this idea of our decisions and answering the question, how do we make good decisions? Well, all that stuff right there, though, the reason there are other words up here is because thoughts are what are where our decisions begin. We'll never make a decision that doesn't begin with a thought. And so thoughts are there, but you know what? Thoughts actually result in a whole lot of different things. It's not just the decisions that we make, but it's all these things. Our thoughts will determine our attitudes, our belief. That our thoughts can create bitterness in our hearts that will really can ruin us. Our thoughts will determine where our attention lies. That's the big word for today, by the way. And our thoughts determine the words that we use, the actions that we take, which result eventually in habits, so forth. And our thoughts can result in depression, all sorts of different things there. So anyway, so thoughts. The important thing for our study, thoughts result in decisions and where we choose to give our attention, which results in direction that results in our destination. But what determines our thoughts? Now, when we did this the very first week, you guys gave all sorts of stuff. I'll give some of the things that y'all talked about. Our sin nature, will in some ways affect our thoughts. The environment that we are in, our upbringing certainly influences around us. Our teachers will affect our thoughts. Our experience, our culture, disorders, prejudices, all of those things affect our thoughts. But you know what? I didn't write those things down there. And the reason I didn't is because those things essentially are things that we can't change. We can't change our parentage. We can't change the household that we grow up in, where that household is on the planet, the people that are around the household, the people at school, the teachers you have, all that kind of stuff. Most of those things are set at least early on in life. And so I didn't put that stuff up there. What I did do, though, is I put stuff up here that we can choose and influence and change that will affect our thoughts very significantly. And so that's why this list is up there, okay? There are a lot more things, but these are the things that we can change. So we'll be, as we go backwards, we'll be talking about that. We may get to this one today, we'll see. But that's just a reset for us to know where we are, why we are doing what we're doing, and all. So we've talked about all that stuff. We talked about decisions. And what a great verse that we studied a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 22:3. I hope that you guys have memorized that. I hope that you've talked with your children about that. It is a fantastic verse. Just in fact, on the drive down this morning with the girls, we are memorizing that as a family. And so we were talking about that verse and what it means. Proverbs 22:3. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the naive pass on and suffer for it. The simple keep going. Excuse me, that's the NIV. The simple, the naive keep going and suffer for it. And what a fantastic verse. What a fantastic verse. I pray that God will use this for each one of us, that as we see that danger, as we see that the destination being someplace different from where we want to end up, that we would take the opportunity to do a U-turn before it's too late. We talked about that point of no return. So we've talked about all of those things, and we talked about what it takes to turn around, to change our direction, the decisions that have to be made to do that. And then last week, we started talking about trying to answer the question, how do you know which path to take? How do you make right decisions? And does anyone remember the verse that we studied last week? Lean not on your own understanding. Excellent. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Another incredibly important verse for everyone in the room and in our families to know and to live by. And there was one takeaway. You know, we talked through that that verse, but the one most important takeaway is this. We don't need information. We're all smart. We've all got lots of information. What we need is submission to God. That is what makes the difference, and that's what we studied about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so instead of leaning on your own understanding, we lean on Him. Put Him first in everything we think and do. That was what we studied last week. Now let's pick up and talk about a different facet, something that I was really intrigued by as I studied through what Andy Stanley talked about when he was talking about this topic. And that is that not only, you know, certainly that our decisions that we make will affect our direction, which will affect our destination, but many times what determines our direction is the things that we give our attention to. And let me give you just a really practical example. When you drive, everybody in here drives, I guess. When you're driving, have you ever noticed that there you are driving along, and then you see something interesting over here, and so you look. It may be the car next to you, it may be something in the distance, but here you are looking, wow, look at that, and you turn back. Do you notice what happened to you every time? You steered in that direction every time. I don't know why it happens that way, but it does. when we give our attention to something, even when we're driving in that very literal and practical sense, when we do that, it changes our direction. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is being careful with what we give our attention to. And so you can think about it. People will sometimes grab our attention. I suspect that some of you may be sitting next to someone who at some time in the fairly distant past grabbed your attention. Do you remember that? Oh, okay. That's sorry for you, Greg. Yeah. So do you remember when that someone grabbed your attention? Now, when somebody grabs our attention, it's because it's an emotional response, right? It's something that just, and by the way, ever since then, ever since that person grabbed your attention, did it change your direction? Absolutely. Absolutely. What are you guys laughing at? You meant that in the most positive way possible. Yep. Hopefully, when your spouse grabbed your attention, that was a positive thing, but it's a definite example of this principle of the things that grab our attention can change and influence our direction. And you bring up the other side of this principle. Some things grab our attention, but we can also choose to pay attention to things. Either thing can happen. Now, this is what's interesting. Now let's think about some of the things that may have grabbed our attention. And this may, you know, there are things that kind of stood out to me when I was reading through this list. There may be some people in your life that you wish you had never met. What I'm talking about specifically is because they grabbed your attention and drew you away in a very negative way. There may be some people in your life that you remember and think, oh, I wish I would have never met them because they grabbed your attention and changed your direction. You wish that instead you would have just glanced and just kept right on going. You may have relationships in your life in your past that you wish you had never, ever even started. There may be a phone number that you wish that you'd never called. An email that you wish you'd never sent. A private message that you wish that you'd never sent. Business opportunity that you wish you would have not gotten interested in, that you wished had not grabbed your attention. When things grab our attention, it's because there's something very powerful, very emotional, emotionally engaging on the path. And often, though, those are things that lead to some of our worst regrets. And here's something that Andy Stanley said that I thought was interesting. The things that grab our attention are most often things that draw us away from where we should be, where we should be going. The things that grab our attention are most often negative in their outcome. Not always. I mean, credit our spouse. There are some good things, right? But most of the time, the things that grab our attention are negative, have negative outcomes. Most of the time, the things that we choose to pay attention to have good outcomes. Now, let me remind you of something that we've talked about a few times in the study. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like that quote that we've used? Bad habits are easy to make, but hard to live with. Good habits are difficult to make, but easy to live with. So the things that grab our attention are easy for us to get distracted by. The things, though, that we choose to pay attention to, those are the things that end up having good outcomes. All right, let's see here. Last week we talked about this. I just wanted to tie a bow on it. What are those things that oftentimes distract us, that are temptations even? Where do those come from? Right, from our flesh, from our own fleshly nature. They are our weaknesses. James 1:14, we quoted it last week. I'll read it again. Each one is tempted. This is where James says, don't say that God has tempted you to sin. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. It's our own flesh. It's our own weakness that causes us to sin. All right, well, right now, we've talked about, well, what is it that is setting my direction, our habits and that kind of stuff. Well, what we are paying attention to today is also setting the direction of your entire life. Moral stuff, financial, professional, spiritual, relationships, academics, everything that you pay attention to directs the outcome of your life. And so you could ask yourself the question, what has my attention right now? What has my attention? Whatever that is affecting your direction. It's part of the principle. Let's look in Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, two verses, not adjacent, but very close to each other. 35 and 37 are where we'll look for a bit. Someone read that, please. Verses 35, and you could read 36 and 37, doesn't matter. And the 37 is the main one, yeah. Thank you. Notice the words that are used in those verses. Direct me in the path of your commands, the New American Standard says. Pathway, for there I find delight. Turn my eyes from worthless things, the distractions of stuff to the right or to the left. Andy Stanley says that most of the time, the things that distract us are the things in this direction or that. You know, so many times in the scripture, it says, help me to keep looking directly ahead. Help me, God, keep from turning to the right or to the left and from looking to the right or to the left. And that's what distracts us. That is what grabs our attention. Usually it's not the stuff straight ahead that we've chosen to pay attention to. It's the stuff on the right or to the left that distracts us. In Deuteronomy 7, God says to his people, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. Pay attention to those laws and be careful to follow them. Don't turn to the right or to the left. So, with all this stuff in mind, any thoughts as you look at your life, any thoughts about this idea, this principle of what you give your attention to influences your direction? The crazy thing about the internet is that while you're using it, while you're focused on it, it still, though, is a distraction to try to keep you from going the direction. Something that's frustrating to me is just right exactly what you're talking about, that it seems like work is completely unrelated to anything that I have as a goal in my life, anything that I'm interested in doing with my life, and more so these days, unfortunately, is corporately completely unrepresentative of anything that I stand for. So not only personally, but the entire thing is unrelated to anything that I want in my life. And yet it is the single biggest thing that I do with my life. Yeah, that's the really bad part about the whole thing. If it were a minor part of life, then live with it, right? I think that it's important for us to recognize this principle, and that is that the things we give our attention to will affect our direction. And anyway, so That's an important thing to add to our list up here. And let's go ahead and move up here. Let's talk about our thoughts. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, really great verse. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence. And this, we talked, I think, last week about how, you know, sometimes it's difficult. That was Proverbs 4:23. That sometimes the, you know, the scripture talks about your mind or your soul or your heart or your, you know, all sorts of different things. But I think that it's clear that this verse is talking about what we think about, what we focus on, what we do with our minds. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. When I think about controlling my thoughts, the verse in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 8, just that totally defines that to me. I want to read something to you, though, before we go there. This is Andy Andrews and one of the one of his seven decisions, which I think are fantastic. He has put a great deal of thought into these, the wording of them, and the that they will be really high impact. Listen to what he says about our thoughts, and it just fits perfectly into our study here. This is, as I said, one of his decisions that he says that we should read and say daily. The buck stops here. I accept responsibility for my past. I am responsible for my success. The lack of it, I'll add. I am where I am today, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, because of decisions I've made. See how it fits right up there. My decisions have always been governed by my thinking. That's up there too. Therefore, I am where I am today, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, because of how I think. Today, I will begin the process of changing where I am, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, by changing the way that I think. I think that that's a really, really great way of stating the principle of the path that we have up there on the board. How do you control your thoughts? It seems to me personally more difficult than it's ever been in my entire life. But God gives us the pathway, the way to control our thoughts. So if you'll turn Philippians 4:8, this is another verse that I think all of us should know by heart. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So Paul there tells us exactly how to control our thoughts. It basically, he gives us eight filters. And you know what? We've talked about this before. I don't recall exactly when the last time was that we did, but we come to this verse from time to time. It's central. It's core to our lives, that is controlling our thoughts. And so it's okay if you remember the last time we did it. We're gonna talk about it again. You may or may not know how computers work. I actually remember, I don't know how many of you guys have done the engineering program where you built a computer from scratch and, you know, all that stuff, you know, programmed it the real old-fashioned way that from the very, very beginning that we did. I've done that, and it's really cool. And what you basically learn is you learn how a computer works. And the thing about a computer, the reason I talk about this is because it so directly relates, and it seems to be so similar to the way that our brains work that I just think that it's a really relevant way to look at it. The way that a computer works, you've got a microprocessor, that's the brain, and that thing is always thinking. Now, it may be doing no ops all the time. That means nothing, but it's doing nothing very actively. Very actively doing nothing. It's always doing something. And it will do that same something until an interrupt happens. That's a distraction. That's something that causes us to start to change our, you know, what we're thinking about to something else. And when that interrupt happens, then the computer decides what to do with it. I've got this interrupt. Do I want to go in a different direction, or am I going to keep doing what I'm doing right now? And so it assesses, based on its programming, is that something that I'm going to start doing something else, or is it something that I'm not going to let distract me from what I'm doing? It can be, you know, if you have a keyboard on your computer, every time you touch a key, that's an interrupt to the processor. And anything else that happens, if a timer goes off or whatever, all those things are interrupts. And it has a set of programming that tells it whether or not to let that interrupt actually change what it's doing. Our brain is exactly the same way. Every time we are, I'll say tempted, every time we are confronted with a thought, a different thought to think, our brain literally has the ability to, before it starts thinking about it, to assess if that interrupt is going to be something that it's going to allow to control and to change its direction. Every single time you have a new thought, you have the option to either pick it up and run with it or not. And what we can do, if we choose to, is we can discipline our mind that every time one of those interrupts happens, every time we are tempted or challenged or faced with a new thought to think, every single time we could say, okay, before I think about that, before I let that into my brain, I'm going to run it through these 8 filters. And I will only let it actually get into my brain if it passes all 8. And so, boom, you're tempted with a new thought. Okay, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Good report. Is there any virtue in it? Is there any praise in it? Is it praiseworthy? If it passes, then okay, you're in. I'll think about you. But if it doesn't, then you can reject it and let it go. Now, sometimes that's kind of hard. You've often heard someone say, okay, don't think about an elephant, and you know, I'm not going to think about it. You know, that's all you're thinking about is that. And so it's really important to have some alternatives ready so that when that thought needs to get kicked out, that you have something to immediately set your brain thinking about. This verse is a great one, by the way. A great place to start is, okay, it didn't pass the filter, so I'm not going to think about you. Instead, I'm just going to meditate on, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and so forth. Or some other passage of Scripture. Sometimes, if it's a temptation that you're being faced with, that you're choosing not to let your mind focus on, then you can have some verses. Like for me, I know what I'm tempted by. And so if I have some verses that relate to that, then I can, okay, I'm not going to think about that. Instead, I'm going to think about this passage here. If you're tempted to worry, and all of a sudden, the first thing, it's not true, right? Worry is not true. The things you worry about, they're not true. So boom, it failed the very first filter. Well, what are you going to think about then? Well, how about Philippians 4:6? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to go known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What was it that I was worried about? Man, I don't remember. And one more thought about that, and then to you, Pamela. One more thought about that is this. Once we know the wiles of the devil, once we know his ways, we can use those against him. One way to use his wiles against him is for him to know that every single time he tempts you to, say, worry, every time he tries to get you to worry, if every time that happens, you then go to Philippians 4:6 and quote a passage of Scripture that not only keeps you from worrying, but also builds you up in your faith, guess what he's going to do less and less often? Because it's not successful. His strategy isn't working. So he's going to stop doing that and try other things, of course. But see, it has a great benefit in many, many ways to do that. Yes, Pamela. Okay, so here you have the tools to control your thoughts and to make sure that the thoughts that you're thinking are okay. Pass the filters here of these 8 things. And at first, it will seem a little bit awkward. I remember when I started doing this, that I was picturing my brain like a computer and all that kind of stuff. And I was also combining this with the armor of God. And of course, you've got the helmet of salvation that sits on your head. And I mean, crud, this sounds silly, I'm sure, but in my mind, every time a new thought wanted in, I would picture it going through the little hole that's on the one side of the helmet, and thinking, okay, and then going through this set of filters. And if it didn't make it, it just went right out the other side of the helmet. And so that was the picture that was going on. But I would do that intentionally over and over and over and over, every minute, every second nearly, with those new thoughts. Am I going to let it in there or not? It is not a sin to be tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted to think something you shouldn't think. What is a sin is when that temptation, we allow it to stay there and we think about it, when we latch on to it. And so what I would do is, nope, not going to touch it. Not going to touch it. That's a fiery dart. I'm not going to get burned by that. I will let it through. And so this passage in Philippians 4:8 gave me the filter that I needed. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, that's the one that got me the most, right? I would go to number four, and most of the things that were trying to get in, that fourth one would stop them. And then it was up to me, the choice. Am I going to choose to think about that, or am I going to choose not to think about that? It really, really brings into focus the fact that, yeah, I am responsible for everything that goes on inside of this brain. And this is a great tool, I believe, to get control over that, to get control over what we're thinking, so that as it fits, as our thoughts fit into this incredibly important principle of the path, that we will have control over that, and the outcome will be far better, far, far better. All right, what are your thoughts about that as we are coming to the end of our time? It's what we choose to actually hold on to, latch on to. If we let it stay, let it camp there. Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, what we should do next week then is talk about these things and their impact on our thinking, which impacts our decisions, which impacts our direction, which impacts our destination. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for the time that we had together this morning, and I pray that you'll use it. I ask, God, that you would use your word in our lives to change the way that we live and act, think, and that as we've studied Philippians 4:8 this morning, that it would be something that would change our outcomes as we change the world. Please help us. We ask for your grace to live out your word. In Jesus' name.